All right. Welcome back. Hour number three. It is time to check in with Lindsay Williams, who has been reporting about issues of international global financial power on a worldwide basis for years. And I think his first visit on this program was, I don't know how long ago it was, 12, 14 years ago, something like that. But anyway, the Gulf catastrophe has kept Lindsay literally up probably many nights. He is monitoring this extremely closely. He has had contact with two of his longtime top five-star oil sources and has about as much information on the inside as we can get. What people really want to know, though, is how much longer it's going to last. That's the common question you hear. Well, when are they going to get none? They're not, folks. It's not going to happen. It is said that the Russians have had this same kind of problem with extreme overpressure wells, which have blown out, and in each case, they've used nukes to seal them off. The difference? They were on land. You can deal with that. You can't deal with it when you're a mile down in water. And that pipe casing, that drill casing, is broken off somewhere, they don't know how deep, below the seabed floor. That's why the top kill operation was stopped, as I've said several times, because when they started to plug it at the top, it simply diverted the flow and the pressure out to the sides, and it came bubbling up right through the ocean floor. So, top kill is not an option. Nukes are probably insane to think about, because that well is drilled on the side of what amounts to a mountain. And if you try to light off a nuke, you could blow out the side of the mountain, and then, well, your imagination could fill in the blanks there. Lindsay, welcome back to the program.
Jeff, thank you so much for the privilege of being on your show tonight. Gulf of Mexico oil disaster, and that word disaster is not understated at all. I'm going to begin with what happened to me this week. I had another oil company person to be in touch with me, and what they told me, Jeff, verified all the things that we've said before, but on the other hand, added a few things to it, punctuated it, and I literally came away startled beyond any words that I can possibly express it. Wow. Let me begin by, first of all, going all the way down to where that oil strata is.
Mm-hmm.
BP went into it at somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 30,000 feet. We believe it was closer to 30,000 feet. As my oil friend said to me this week, now this is different than the Mr. X. This is different than the elitist who is 87 years of age. This is another individual who has been in the oil business relatively all of their life. They're now retired. They're very similar to the gentleman who is 87 years of age who made the statement to me a number of months ago. He said, Lindsay, I'm too old to care. Just go ahead and tell the world everything. This gentleman is very similar to that. And he tried to explain it this way. He said, let's first of all begin with the oil strata, down approximately 30,000 feet. Now, he said just above that or surrounding it or encasing it is a granite rock. He said that's what holds it in place. Of course, naturally, Jeff, I referred to that as what God put there years ago in order to contain it. He said above that granite rock is sand. Now, he said that sand can be cauterized. He said the granite rock cannot. He actually finally gave me the pressure, the wellhead pressure at the top.
He knows.
When this thing blew, it was just after they had gone through that granite strata.
Right.
And it literally blew everything at once. It blew every safety valve. It blew the platform. It blew up everything. I mean, it literally took everything with it. BP had made a few mistakes, yes. They did not have the fail-safe valve in place properly. But we finally have the pressure. Now, I had been told by my elitist friend way back numbers of weeks ago when I first appeared on your program and many others across the country, I was told that the wellhead pressure was between 20 and 70,000 pounds per square inch. But they never had time to check it. They never had time to prove it because everything blew in one humongous blast
right.
when they went through that granite layup.
So they had no measuring devices.
They finally have gone down there and given a pretty close to precise pounds per square inch as to what they can fairly well determine it is. And they say that it positively is 40,000 pounds per square inch.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff, you and I both recognize that that is beyond the scope of any modern day scientific methods or any well that has ever been hit before on the face of the earth. Even Russia did not hit that when they drilled their first super deep well. But BP was trying to copy Russia. Do it in the water, in ocean water. And when they hit it and came up with approximately 40,000 pounds per square inch, everything blew. There's no way they're going to stop it. As you mentioned, as you began the program, the only possible way of doing anything to this is a nuclear device. And this gentleman said to me this week, he said, Chaplain, I don't think there's much possibility of that, because he said that granite strata already has had time to fracture. And he said there are some fissures down there.
Uh-huh.
He said to the best that we can surmise, it already has cracks in it. Now, he said, if we go down with a nuclear device and cauterize that sand above that granite layer, but he said the danger is we are going to open those fissures further. And, Jeff, would you like to know how long? He said that they have already calculated. Now, BP won't tell you this. The national media wouldn't dare peep this. I wouldn't have known it if this oil man had not come to me. I didn't go to him. He came to me. He said, Chaplain, I've heard what you've been saying. He said, I want to tell you a little bit of the rest of it. He said, Chaplain, if we go down and cauterize that sand, but we fracture that granite more, he said, Chaplain, that oil will flow far. Are you ready? Are you sitting down?
I am.
I hope you are.
I am.
Because this is our possibility. He said, we will fracture it further, and it can flow for 30 years, Jeff.
Well, that pollutes the world.
Yes.
That pollutes all the oceans of the world.
Yes.
And begins at least a minor extinction level event for an awful lot of life forms. And
correct.
Don't think that they're not interrelated for one second. That's the mistake people make. Well, there's that over there and there's this over there and those are in the background there. No, they're all interrelated. When one segment fails, the chain is broken. And if he's right, this could be an extinction-level event, which could wipe out much life on this planet. Much. Did he talk about the gases coming up at all?
Yes. He verified everything that the Environmental Protection Agency had said. He verified all of those gases, and he said that they definitely are coming out of the well. He said this positively is correct, and I think I had given you the list before on that the Environmental Protection Agency had given, which is horrifying to even think about what people are breathing in Florida. And, oh, Jeff, I am so glad that you let me be on your show tonight. I know I'm always glad to be on your show, but I am especially appreciative tonight because, Jeff, I am fully convinced with the catastrophic events that are taking place in the world today, and after the president's presentation this morning, I think we are in such a position right now that short of you talk show host, getting to the American people in mass, I don't see any hope for America whatsoever. I mean, I really see no method of disseminating this information except what you're doing through your internet and the talk shows and the talk groups that you're able to reach. Jeff, if ever you had a divine appointed, how should I say it, a divine appointed responsibility as a talk show host, it's right now. Your responsibility is the greatest right now it has ever been in your life.
I agree, and I've felt that, Lindsay. I concur, and I have been doing everything I can to stay on top of this. And if I might just say one thing, it is now patently obvious to anyone who honestly and objectively analyzes the situation that tens of millions of people are being intentionally allowed to breathe potentially deadly air by this alleged government of ours. The air monitor quality reports are gone. There haven't been any. One or two cursory notices, and that's it. No universities are being allowed to do this. No municipal air pollution or air quality monitoring stations are issuing results. You folks are not seeing any on my site because there aren't any. This is potentially, de facto, a mass murder unfolding. These people are breathing death. It's that simple. Lindsay Williams is with us. We'll be right back with more in just a minute. Let me urge all of you again who live along the Gulf Coast or anywhere near it, in fact, all of you should have an ozone purifier for the air in your homes, especially the people down there. I would urge them to get two of them if you possibly can. They're around. Look on the internet. Ozone indoor air purifiers. $200, $300, $400. You shouldn't spend any more than that. It'll save your life, potentially. You're breathing air the government does not want you to know how toxic it is, in fact. And that is, well, how big do crimes get? Go ahead, Lindsay.
Well, hydrogen sulfide, allowable limits, 2 to 5, 10 parts per billion. Be sure and write this PPB as in boy. Benzene is toxic. It's a carcinogen. People are breathing it all along the Gulf Coast, all over Florida. Safe levels. It's so toxic until the Environmental Protection Agency says zero should be allowed. But 4 parts per billion could possibly take place without hurting you too much.
Yeah, 0 to 4.
We presently have in the Gulf of Mexico 3,000 parts per billion. Methylene chloride, 61 parts per billion are allowed by the Environmental Protection Agency. They just measured the other day 3,000 to 3,400 parts per billion. And, Jeff, the phone calls that I am getting for people who live in the Gulf states, along the coastline, and Florida are horrifying. Every hospital in Orlando, Florida is full. Full. I mean, literally full and running over. I was talking with a friend of mine there just this week, and he said every hospital down here is full.
Wow.
Moving vans, he said, you contact a moving company to try to move out of here. He said they won't even give you a date when they'll come out and estimate what it would cost to move you.
Huh.
I could go on with a very prominent attorney who lives in Huntsville, Alabama, and I'm allowed to use his name now. You'll recognize him, Larry Beecraft.
Sure.
He called me the other day and he said, Chaplain, it definitely is affecting our area. He said the plants have spots on the leaves in Huntsville, Alabama. He said, don't you believe that it goes all the way up any further than here? He said it's right down to the coastline. Another person in Tallahassee, Florida, called me the other day. He said, we got up this morning, walked out the door, took one whiff of the air. He said, I could smell the toxic gases. He said, I'm getting out of here at any cost. As far as I know, he's already moved. You know, Jeff, I can't hear these stories after being a pastor for 12 years and a missionary in Alaska for 12 years on top of that. I don't know what it's doing to me, but whatever it is horrifying. I gave a copy of my latest presentation on the Gulf of Mexico oil disaster. I've done an entire documentary on this. I beg of you to get it. It has everything in it. And I gave it to the pastor of the church where my family and I attend. He got in touch with me. He said, Pastor, I'm appalled. He said, I'm flabbergasted. He said, I didn't realize this. He said, we're not getting this anywhere.
No.
Friends of ours, not far from where we live, came over and had dinner with us the other night. And when they got here, they said, by the way, Lindsay, what do you think about this Gulf of Mexico oil disaster? After about 20 to 30 minutes of my just laying out basics, I didn't even go through the whole presentation, just basics. You know, it takes me an hour and a half to cover my presentation on this. Just basics. They were sitting there with their mouths open. They said, wait a minute, we aren't getting this in the media. Is it are you positive now that, yeah, these are friends. I mean, they had to believe what I'm saying. Two different people, friends of ours, have said the same thing. They said, we're utterly appalled. We're flabbergasted. We didn't know it was this way. We thought it was kind of leveling off and getting better since we haven't heard it from the major media in the last week's time. Jeff, what are we going to do to get people to wake up and realize what's going on?
Well, maybe when they see enough of them buried over time, it'll get through to them. But we have a government that is clearly involved, at the very least, as an accessory to mass murder. They are directly, in my view, responsible for mass murder because they are not telling the people the truth. And the people have a God-given birthright to know what the government knows. And the government knows that they're breathing death. It's that bad. The benzene alone could kill them. But the methane in the water, the hydrogen sulfide gases, the other gases that are on, did you see the video of the, I guess it was Pensacola Beach. The water was actually bubbling when it was washing up on the shore. There was so much gas dissolved in the water, hydrogen sulfide gas. It was bubbling up through. It looked like the water was bubbling, boiling. This is insane. And the entire Gulf is headed, well, it's headed to the ash can of history in terms of life and vibrancy. And all the people that made a living along the Gulf, restaurateurs, people who supply the restaurants, people who patronize the restaurants, of course, they're gone. Motels, hotels are zeroed out in many cases for the 4th of July weekend. There are no tourists, none. The fishing fleets, all the related marine activities, boat rentals, you name it, are dead, gone. There are millions and millions and millions of people who have lost their livelihood and they're not going to get it back. And the government, what does it do? It lies about the air they're breathing, which will kill them. And how much more heinous can it get?
Well, Jeff, you used the word just a moment ago, and I'm going to capitalize on it, if I may, because you're exactly right. You said dead. 1989, the Exxon Valdez in Alaska, a ship, just a mere oil tanker compared to what we have in the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
It hit a rock because of a drunken sea captain. Now, that was 1989.
Yeah.
Those who cleaned up the Exxon Valdez spill,
right,
the oldest person that ever lived who was a part of the cleanup crew lived to be 51 years of age. And CNN put this on. I was amazed that they would ever even do it. And they said that back in those days, they wore protective gear. They wore rubber gloves. They wore respirators. They wore all these things.
Well, these people are all
allowed,
by
the way, by BP and the cleanup crew in the Gulf of Mexico.
Right. Hold on, Lindsay. Hold on. We're going to come back.
The Exxon Valdez cleanup is today dead.
They're dead. We'll be right back. Okay, back with Lindsay Williams. If you go ahead and recapture what you were talking about, and let's revisit that, Lindsay, if you can remember where you were.
1989, in Alaska, there was a ship called the Exxon Valdez. The captain was drunk. He hit a rock. Now, this was a supertanker, and it was taking oil from America's oil field and from the Trans-Alaska oil pipeline. And in the coast around Valdez, they hit this rock, and the oil spilled out. Now, that's only a fraction of the amount of oil that's coming out in this Gulf of Mexico oil disaster. But let's go back to the people who aided in the cleanup efforts of the Exxon Valdez. They wore rubber gloves. They wore respirators.
Mm-hmm.
They wore protective gear. Now, that was only a few years ago, 1989. Every single person who worked in the cleanup effort of that Exxon Valdez in 1989, every single one of those people today are dead, according to the records. The oldest that any person who aided in that cleanup effort ever got to be was 51 years of age. The oldest. Now, let me go back to what I saw at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska. Remember, I was the chaplain to the elite. I lived with the people that you hear about in the World Bank and the IMF and the top oil company officials of the world as their chaplain on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. and I've kept in touch with these people over the years. But remember, I saw everything that went on at Prudhoe Bay. I sat in the board meetings of the elite for those 3 years' time. For instance, out of every oil well comes many things besides that black oil, or in the Gulf of Mexico, a reddish color oil. There's more that comes out of that pipe than that. There are gases. There are toxic gases. There are very dangerous substances, and every oil well in the world will vary what comes out of it according to the particular oil field. At Prudhoe Bay, Alaska. Now, you've been on the 747 airplane. Many of you, one of the largest airplanes in the commercial airline fleet world today, and you may know that a person 6 feet tall can stand up in the intake of that engine and still have room over their head. That's how large it is. These are monstrous engines. At Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, there was seven, that's right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of those 747 type jet aircraft engines that had been adapted for the purpose of pumping back into the ground. Are you hearing this, folks? All of you there in the Gulf States and the state of Florida, please, I plead with you to hear this. There was seven of those 747 type jet aircraft engines that pumped nothing but the gases that came up out of the Prudhoe Bay oil field that were toxic and flammable and dangerous and not fit to breathe. They would not let it go into the atmosphere. They filtered that out immediately when the oil came out at the wellhead, and those 747 jet aircraft engines pumped it back into the field along with them out of water in order to maintain the pressure of the field. They did not let those gases come out at will. Folks, are you realizing that this is a free-flowing well in the Gulf of Mexico, and that not only that reddish color oil is coming out and killing the animals and destroying the pristine beaches and the tourist industry, but the gases that are coming out of that well, they're not even making an issue out of it. At Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, they would not allow 1 ounce of that gas to escape into the atmosphere.
How interesting.
In the Gulf of Mexico, hydrogen sulfide at 1,200 parts per billion, benzene, toxic, cancer-forming, 3,000 parts per billion, methylene chloride, 3,000 to 3,400 parts per billion. And folks in Florida, you are breathing this. In the Gulf Coast, you are inhaling this. You are getting sick, a person said to me out of Orlando the other day. They said, we're having respiratory problems for the past week. They said, we have been so nauseated in our stomach for the last 2 days. They said, Chaplain, what can we do about it? Jeff, I don't know where to go from here. My heart goes out to these people. The gas is coming out of that well. In no other oil field in the world would they even allow them to escape into the atmosphere. And at Prudhoe Bay, every bit of it was pumped back. And not only, but on top of that, BP has intentionally lied and kept you from knowing the amount of oil that is out there by pumping, as of today, 1,121,000 gallons of a horrible toxic substance called Corexic 9500 into the water. It is going to be turning into toxic rain. It is... I don't know how it, phase transitions is the way they call it. It's unimaginable, the environmental and human disaster that's going to develop as a result of this. From the very bottom of the evolutionary chart to the top, everything is affected. Jeff, where do we go? How do we tell people to please do something immediately?
Well, there's very little they can do. Many of them are in homes that have been in their families for generations. They can't pack up and leave. They have nowhere to go. They have no means to get out of the situation that they are being, well, held in by their government. The government is making no effort to make relocation a potential for these people. The government is simply hiding the deadly nature of the air they're breathing. And I noticed this the first time I went looking for air quality analyses. I couldn't find any. Finally, the one that was on the Louisiana TV station that made it abundantly clear that benzene in one particular test, 3,400 plus parts per billion, and 0 to 4, as you've said, safe, if safe is any, and I think 0 is safe. But the issue of Where will you put 10 to 20, 30 million people? Is quite clearly something the government hasn't a clue about doing. They don't know what to do, who's going to provide law enforcement to protect the homes from looters, which obviously will be a problem. And do you force everyone to leave? No, you can't do that. You can invite them to leave if you had a place to take them. All I can tell people to do is to, at least when you're indoors, keep the windows closed, keep the air on recycle, keep your air conditioners on, and get an ozone air purifier. They actually make them that'll fit in the ducting of your indoor air conditioning system. It's made by Trane, the one I have. It's called Clean Air Effects. Clean Air Effect, EFFECTS. I think it's a little over $1,000. And it goes right into the duct before it goes into your particular heater or recycling unit for cold air. And it takes 99.99% of the toxicity out of the air in your home. This is mold, yeast, fungus, gases, it doesn't matter. So at least look into that, and there are cheaper units on the market, $200, $300, $400. You've got to at least try to give yourself a chance when you're not outdoors to breathe clean air, and that's one way you can do it. Other than that, millions of Americans are their lives are on the line tonight, right as we speak. Back with Lindsay in just a few minutes. Okay, back with Lindsay. And as I mentioned earlier tonight, Hurricane Alex dropped a huge part of its tail in the Gulf, and over the weekend they're saying that may turn into a second hurricane. It's certainly possible. So we will have to see. The first one that heads up toward New Orleans, of course, rather than over toward Mexico and Texas to the west, is going to cause a great deal of trouble. The reason this oil is red and there's so much potent gas coming up is that this material is being released from the mantle, deep in the mantle of the Earth. And it is basically these are the components of more refined oil that is slowly over the eons pushed to the surface and gathers together in pools, oil fields, which we tap into. They don't have near the gas, near the toxicity. These are the precursor elements to petroleum as we know it. And for goodness sake, if you hear anyone say fossil fuel, correct them. Say, with all due respect, this oil has nothing to do with fossils, never did, never will. It's a process of abiotic oil creation that the Earth does 24 hours a day and never stops. There may be more oil under the mantle than there is water on the surface. That's what somebody else said, which is interesting. So, Lindsay, I don't know what to tell you. But life as we knew it in the Gulf is dead in terms of the animal kingdoms. Life as we knew it for human Homo sapiens is dead as we knew it. It's not coming back. And if you folks listening, living down there, have a means to get out, get out. If you've got relatives in North Dakota, out in the west, in Colorado, Utah, Arizona, doesn't matter. Get out of there. And they're finding oil now, apparently, from what I'm getting, a story that I haven't been able to get into yet, but it'll be posted momentarily. They found oil from the Gulf, they think, in the Gulf, in North Carolina now, in a ditch. It looks like the same oil. It appears to be the same oil. And we'll have to wait and see for the analysis. It does have earmarks. The story is, let's see if I can get it to possibly play here, and we'll see what it says. I just got it. It's very interesting. Oil from the Gulf in Bladenboro, B-L-A-D-E-N, Bladenboro, North Carolina. So it's a short piece. Let's take a listen here.
It's dying.
It's fucking crazy.
It's not good.
Is it on?
Mm-hmm.
Imported from North Carolina, Bladenboro. As you can see, rained a couple days ago.
Last night?
It's oil in our ditch water. That's oil. We don't hear nothing about that on the news. It's Mike Brimhall from Bladenboro, North Carolina. Somebody get back to us on that.
Okay, well, there you go. That's a long ways up. It's being carried by the air currents all up at least halfway up the East Coast now, and it'll go further. So remember, no hurricanes have been moving up the East Coast, nothing. This is just being pumped up from air currents that are coming out of the Gulf, and this particular gentleman found oil in his water ditch on his property in Bladenboro, North Carolina. There you go.
Well, the Gulf of Mexico oil is a super deep well. It's the first time that a super deep well has ever been drilled in ocean water. Should have never been done. The government should have never issued the permits. It is abiotic oil. That means it positively is not fossil fuel. There are none of the elements in this oil that relate to fossil fuel at all. This is the mother lobe of all oils. It's coming from very deep in the heart of the earth. They tapped into a strata that was a whole new world to them. Even the oil companies themselves have no precedence for this whatsoever. Now, Jeff, things are happening so rapidly. You may remember, I think it was about 3 weeks ago when I appeared on your show for the first time talking about the Gulf of Mexico oil disaster. At the time, I had just completed a documentary on it. Well, that documentary is old and outdated. And there's so many new things that have happened and so much that has taken place, and numbers of oil company people who I have been in touch with, and then this one this past week who contacted me and said, Chaplain, I'm going to be amazed if anything can be done about this at all. And he said it may even go on for 30 years. As a result, I just finished, I think it was 4 days ago, a new documentary. I plead with you to get this. I'll give you a toll-free number in just a moment. I'll tell you where our website is that you can go over the weekend if you wish and pick up on this, or even tonight. And I beg of you, my DVDs and CDs are not copywritten. I hope you heard that. You very seldom ever hear a person say that I don't have time to be greedy anymore. This is too drastic. They are not copywritten. I am begging of you to get my DVDs, six DVD set, telling everything that the elite are going to do between now and 2012, everything they'll do in 2010. I was told this by an 87-year-old elitist who said to me, Chaplain, I'm too old to care. Just tell the world everything. And I did, in quality DVD form, six DVDs, 8 hours of viewing, and my documentary on the Gulf of Mexico oil disaster, all ties together in the plans of the elitist. I beg of you to get them, copy them, get them to everybody you can. Our toll-free number is 1-888-799-6111. Or if you'd like to go on the web, you can go to prophecyclub.com. That's prophecy spelled with a C, PROPHECYCLUB.com. You can order there if you wish. Or our toll-free number on tomorrow, 1-888-799-6111. I urge you, copy them, give them. Now, if you know anyone in the Gulf states, if you know anyone in Florida, give them the truth. Give it to them as I have gotten it from the elitists themselves. Now, Jeff, you know, I've been on your show for, as you said, probably for the past 25 years. It was the first time I ever did a show with you. And you know that I never deal in I hope so, think so, possibly, or could be. I just don't deal in those things. And if people ask me a question and the elitists haven't given me an answer, I just merely say, I don't know. What you're going to get from my documentary on the Gulf of Mexico oil disaster comes from them, right from the people who know what's going on behind closed doors and everything that's taking place. This is so drastic that, as far as I'm concerned, there has never been a disaster in the United States of America, and possibly even in the entire world, that could even equal close to this Gulf of Mexico oil disaster. It is going to affect our lifestyle for years and years to come, if not always. The The tourist industry is gone, as Jeff mentioned a moment ago. You may as well forget it. Jeff, did I hear you say that over the 4th of July, the hotels around the Gulf, around Pensacola, and certain places like that, that for all practical purposes, the hotels are empty?
Correct.
Oh, my goodness.
Nobody's going down
this
there.
This is one of the biggest industries of the Gulf Coast in Florida.
No, it's over. It's not going to come back. See, the word is out on the Internet about the air. No one is going to take their family down into a deadly, toxic environmental disaster like this. No one should. And they're not. And you can't blame them. This is a catastrophe. BP will be paying until it's absorbed or taken over by some other company. And eventually they'll put limits on the payoffs. And these people will just, a lot of them will just die. You saw the tragedy of the boat captain. He had just completed a BP training course, an updated training course, and he figured it out. He figured out that his life was over. It was over for the Gulf, and he just checked out right on his ship. His crew was on board and everything. I hope you people don't do that. We don't want to see that. What we want to see is you folks who can and who do have relatives elsewhere, do your best to call them and say, hey, can we get out of here for a few weeks or a month until we see what's going to happen? And then you're going to have to take your chances. Maybe you can get a mini storage and put your more valuable things in there. Hopefully the police will stay on duty. I can't imagine going out as a law enforcement officer in those areas, and if they know what we know, and working. They've got families too. So you get back to that same old thing. Who's going to be around to protect you when something really bad happens? Well, something really bad has happened. And the government is clearly lying. The government is clearly sacrificing people. The BP doesn't care. They're going to put them in those formaldehyde trailers now, the cleanup crew. When they get sick, they get ibuprofen, and that's it. So, no, it's not good, Lindsay. Not good at all. And it's unfortunately only going to get worse. Oil in North Carolina in a ditch with water in it. That means oil fell all over the place. So watch the radar maps. Watch how the oil moves up and out of the Gulf and where it goes, because essentially wherever that flow of oil in the air goes, the ground will be polluted. And with Corexit in there, 1.5 million gallons, maybe more than that by now, you have Larry Beecraft in Huntsville, other people talking about crops and plants and trees and shrubs and flowers dying. So, no, it's not good. It's a very grim situation. Lindsay, thanks so much for the update. I know what you're offering in your DVD, and some people have written to me and saying, is he trying to capitalize on this? And I said, Lord, no. He's trying to bring the information, not just taken off the wire services and the Internet, but from these top people in the oil industry that he's known for decades. This is really important information. Now, they know how bad this is. And through Lindsay, they're talking. This is rather fascinating, to put it mildly. Lindsay, thanks so much again.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you allowing me to be on your show tonight for an update. Lord bless you and have a great week. Weekend.
Thank you, too. We'll talk to you soon. Okay. Lindsay Williams, and we'll be back with more tomorrow night, Friday night, the 2nd of July, 2010. See you then.